1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27, we see here something that's very a shocking observation to make in the house of a priest, high priest, in fact. Eli was a high priest. The high priesthood was established by God. And as we'll see, as we remember and as we know from the scripture, it's a very important position for him to be put in. The children of Israel were composed of 12 tribes. We have God making a promise to Abraham that he would make of Abraham a great nation. And from Abraham we have the son of promise, Isaac. His name means laughter, because it was such an amazing thing for Sarah to give birth to a son. That was her response, was laughing, that is impossible. And from Isaac we have the two sons, Jacob and Esau. And from Jacob we have these 12 sons from four wives. And the son Levi, his tribe, from among his tribe of Levi, was chosen the house of Aaron. And so Eli was from the house of Aaron. He is acting as a Jewish high priest. And as we see in verse 27, the scripture says, there came a man of God unto Eli. Now the phrase man of God is used throughout scripture, many times throughout scripture. This is an unnamed man of God that came to Eli, but was from God. A man of God came unto Eli. And the purpose for the man of God coming to Eli was to deliver a message from the Lord. Now, if you notice in your Bible, we have Lord there in all capital letters. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's to signify the Hebrew word behind this English word. Hebrew word, when you see Lord in all capital letters, or sometimes you may see God in all capital letters, capital G, capital O, capital D, it signifies the name Jehovah. Jehovah, the highest name for God. All the names of God are very important. But this man was delivering a message. Sometimes we don't want to hear the message that God wants to hear, but we need to hear it. Eli, it's like he didn't want to hear this message that this man of God was bringing from the Lord to him, but he needed to hear it. Same with us. We need to hear it. Eli, as I said, he was the high priest. His name is mentioned about 33 times in Scripture. Most of the times he's mentioned, he's right here in 1 Samuel. One time, I think it's in 1 Kings. He's mentioned 1 Kings 2:27. All the other times he's mentioned in 1 Samuel. Now Eli had two sons. Now we're going to see these two sons in a little bit here, but he had two sons. And what's significant about this is that it's the sons of the high priest that one of the sons would become the high priest. Generally, the oldest of the two would have been the next high priest. He had two sons. His two sons' names were Hophni and Phinehas. And they're mentioned five times in Scripture. They were mentioned early on in 1 Samuel chapter 1, they were mentioned. If we look back there for a moment, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to do sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. So we see them mentioned in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Well, we mentioned later on in chapter 2 here in our discussion, in our sermon. We also mentioned in chapter 4 of 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, verse 11, and verse 17. In verse 4 of chapter 4, the Bible says, "So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there, were with the ark of the covenant of God." And to verse 11, "And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain." And verse 17, "And the messenger answered and said, if I said, Israel's fled before the Philistines, and there have been also great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken." So these are the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, and we'll be discussing them shortly in more detail. But again, from Levi, the fourth son, born son, we have Aaron. And in subsequent generations, we see Eli, the high priest. And the high priest, his two sons, in a normal situation, normal circumstance, they would have, one of the oldest of the two would have become the next high priest when upon the death of his father. But the messenger of God came. The man of God came to Eli to deliver a message from the Lord. Again, something that Eli didn't want to hear, but he needed to hear it. We have a Bible, God's Word, 66 canonical books. Sometimes we don't, God's given us, he wants us to hear what he has to say in the Bible. We need to listen. There may be things in the Bible that perhaps we do not want to hear. God doesn't send a prophet around to us today. That's closed. That's finished. But he has given us a completed canon of Scripture that we have before us today. And so this man of God comes. To Eli. And he says this question. There's four questions that are asked in this chapter, in this section. The first one is, "And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be a priest to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me?" Now, looking back at the previous, end of the previous verse, we'll see that the man of God is telling, reminding Eli, he says, "Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when you were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house?" And then from there on, he's continuing on his thought about making a choice of who was going to be in the structure. You see, the children of Israel, as you know, they spent over 400 years in Egypt. And a major portion of that 400 years was in enslavement to an Egyptian pharaoh who did not know Joseph. But then God brought them out. God brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And this man of God is asking Eli to remember. Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? And the answer to the question is yes. God was there. God was there for them when they were in Egypt. And God is here for us today. We have nothing to do with Egyptian bondage. We have nothing to do with Israel, other than the fact we've been engrafted in. Christ has died for us upon the cross of Calvary, and those that have put their trust in him have salvation. And this man of God is asking a question to Eli. He says, did I choose him out of the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon an altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? Now, when we think about how this occurred, it started with God appearing to Moses back in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5. Exodus 3, 5. The Bible says, "And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground." This is the account where the Lord, the great I Am, the Lord, Jehovah, appeared before Moses, and he says, "Draw nigh unto me." And from that point, God revealed himself to Moses. Moses brought back that message. Moses, the man of God, brought back that message to the children of Israel and told them something wonderful, that God was going to deliver them out of the bondage of Egypt. In Stephen's sermon, he makes reference to this. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 7, verse 2, Stephen himself refers to this, to the history, to the group of the Sanhedrin, men who were rejecting what God wanted. The Sanhedrin. Now, may we not be like the Sanhedrin. May we not be like Eli, to reject what God wants us to do and what God wants us to, how God wants us to act. And so Stephen reminded those men in his sermon about this account of the burning bush. In Acts chapter 7, verse 2, the Bible says, And he said, "Men, brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran." In verse 33 of Acts 7, the scripture says, "Then said the Lord to him," meaning Moses, "put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground." The man of God asks four questions to Eli. First was, did I not plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? The second question is right here in verse 28 again. Did I not choose him out of the tribe of Israel to be my priests, to offer upon an altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? Now there was, early on in the time of Israeli history, there was a dispute. There was a bit of a rebellion as far as whose family should be the priestly family. But this dispute, in the minds of the disputers, was settled in Numbers chapter 17. Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the fourth book of the Bible. Numbers chapter 17. We notice this dispute, there is a dispute as far as who should be the priest. Now, and so, you can look at the context of the entire account in verses 1 to 11. But if you drop down to Numbers chapter 17 to verse number 8, Numbers 17 verse number 8, You see that each person, to summarize what's the preceding verses, each person from each of the tribes, 12 tribes, is to put a rod instead of the side. Might as well read it. I like it. These towns of scripture are much more better than my summary of what it says. Number 17, verses 1 and following. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, and other princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods, weigh every man's name upon his rod. And they'll put Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, for one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And they shall lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom, and it will make cease from the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each piece, one according to their father's house, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass, on the morrow, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moses brought all the rods from before the Lord unto the children of Israel, and they looked, and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to keep it for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me this day, that they die not. And Moses did so, as the Lord commanded him, so did he. And the children of Israel spake unto Moses, saying, behold, we die, we perish. Whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die, shall be consumed with dying. So, noticing here in the counting, Numbers chapter 17, Aaron was chosen. So this question, first question, question number one, there's four questions this man of God has asked him. Did I not plainly appear into the house of thy father when they were in the land of Egypt? The answer is yes. Second question, in verse 28, did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priests, to offer upon an altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? The answer is yes. The responsibility of the priests to offer daily sacrifices, and sometimes the daily sacrifices, the yearly sacrifices, the sacrifices of the special feast days, it was very important. All the sacrificial system of the Old Testament is points to the cross. It points to the cross. It's a tie, everything that happens in that tabernacle is a picture of salvation, a picture of God's redemptive work. And then later on in that verse 28, another question is asked. Question number 3 is asked. And did I give unto the house of thy fathers all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Again, the answer is yes. He's been established. He was being established. The priesthood was being established to perform a certain task for God, to bring the sacrifices, all the different types of sacrifices that were needed for different people. This was the responsibility of the high priest. Now, sadly, as we'll find out later on in this passage, Eli and especially his sons failed to fulfill their responsibility as the priests. And Eli failed his responsibility as the high priest. And then we have here another question that's asked. The first three were yes, no questions. They were yes, yes, yes. Question number 4, in verse 29, the scripture says, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice, and my offerings, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honor thou thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people." Now, again, we have the first three questions were yes, yes, yes. And then the fourth question was, well, then if the response to those three other questions were yes, yes, and yes, you know, the first one, did it not plainly appear to the Father's house when you were in the land of Egypt, rather than Pharaoh's house? Yes. Question two, did I choose him out of the tribes of Israel to be my priests to offer upon an altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? Yes. And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Yes. And so we have here a fourth question that the man of God is asking Eli, the man of God is asking Eli, he's saying, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and an offering which I command in my habitation and honor thy sons above me?" It appears that the priesthood at this point in time, the high priest Levi, who is the one that's responsible, and the lower priest, his sons, were making light of the sacrifices of God. Those holy sacrifices that were supposed to be had a specific purpose: sin offerings, the peace offerings, the meal offerings, and all the other sacrifices that were involved. He was making light of them. Now, we are believer priests today. There's a difference between Old Testament and New Testament. You know, there's a completely different time period, different age of time, different areas of stewardship, different dispensation of time. One is the age of law. Eli and his sons were living in the age of law. We today are living in the age of grace. But looking back at what Eli was doing, he was making light of the sacrifice of the animal sacrifice. He was making light of that sacrifice. He was kicking at the sacrifice. And we should not make light of the sacrifice of Calvary either. Of Calvary, what happened in Calvary's cross. We should not make light of that. But sometimes, just like what else we see here, Eli was guilty of making light of those sacrifices of the Old Testament system. Sadly, many times today, we make light of what happened in Calvary's cross. And so he's asking this question, why are you kicking at my sacrifices? Why are you making your sons more important than me? He says in the scripture, honor thy sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of the offerings of Israel, my people. Now, you see, the priests had a portion. They were God had given them a special portion of the sacrifice. Earlier on in chapter 2, verse 14, verse 12, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, they knew not the Lord, and the priest's customs with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in the seeming, and the flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and struck it into the pot of kettle or cauldron, or pot, with the flesh hook, and brought up the priest, took up for himself, so he did in Shiloh, unto all Israel. Israelites came thither. And so, but what was happening in this passage, that they were not satisfied with God's way. They didn't want it that way. They wanted it some other way. And so, the sons of Eli, and perhaps Aaron himself, were pilfering the sacrifices that were being brought into the temple. They were assigned, were supposed to be used for specific purpose, for the sacrifice. They were taking something that did not belong to them as yet. They were taking it beforehand. They wanted the best of everything. And so they were making themselves fat with the chiefest of the offerings of the people of Israel. I'm not sure how Eli responded to this. He was confronted with this sin that he had in his life, in his son's life. He was responsible for this. And so, there's a wherefore here. Because of the sin, our sin has consequences. Eli's sin had consequences, and his son's. In verse 30, wherefore, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever, but now, the now is there because we have this adversative conjunction, but now, the Lord saith, again, this is Jehovah, the Lord saith, be it far from me that for them that honoreth me, I will honor, and it that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Because of the failure of the sons of Eli and of Eli himself, he had a responsibility in this. The sons are the ones that did the sin. The sons that were the sons Hophni and Phinehas were the sons of Eliel. They were the ones who transgressed. But Eli had a certain level of responsibility. And because of this, we have a wherefore. There's a wherefore. Wherefore, the Lord God of Israel, but be far from me, wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they despise me shall be lightly esteemed. They were despising the Lord, Hophni and Phinehas. There should not be this conflict that they were having, but they did. They did. They went too far, far beyond where God wanted them to be. And they could not be brought back. And so God brought judgment upon them. If we consider the passage in Malachi chapter 1, right before the book of Matthew, we'll find Malachi. Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, so it'd be right before the book of Matthew there. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise thy name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, isn't it evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, isn't that evil? Offer now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And so, this problem was, this the time during the time of Malachi is later on. But the point is, what were they doing? They failed to honor the Lord. Hophni and Phinehas and Eli, they failed to honor the Lord. And so we have this judgment that's coming. The judgment's coming in verse 31, and later on we'll see the realization of this judgment. Behold, the day come. I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, and there shall not be an old man in thine house. You know, there's the arm being cut off, a symbol of not being able to fulfill in the ministries of the priesthood. That's what's happening. And there's not going to be an old man in the house. Meaning, wisdom. You know, there's people today. There's I'm trying to think if that's, I read someplace about people can only live so long. But when we say there's not going to be an old man in the house of Eli, meaning there's going to be premature death. There's going to be premature death because of the sin of Eli and the sin of his children. This is the judgment that's coming. And thou shalt see an enemy, verse 32, and thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. The transfer of priesthood is being removed from Eli. There's going to be an enemy that's coming. An enemy in my habitation. And the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from an altar, shall be to consume thine enemy, thine eye, and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. This is the result of the sin, the result of rejecting God's way. And when they rejected God's way, they were saying they wanted to do it their own way. Whatever that way might be. You know, this is the time periods of the system in the Old Testament. This is what their problem was. But the same thing is said today, when God's way is rejected, and we say we want to do it our way, then there's always problems. One would think we would learn. But we have to be continually being retaught. Now, here, this is the final lesson that Eli is getting. The final lesson, Eli, his sons, Hophni, Phinehas, were seeing, it's surely going to come to pass. The judgment, punishment is coming because of their wickedness, because of their sin. And this shall be a sign unto thee. Talking right to Eli. He's talking right to Eli. And this shall be a sign to thee that thou, that thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, in one day shall die, both of them. Just in one day. And we see this happens in chapter 14. Chapter 4, two chapters over. Chapter 4, verse 17. And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And as soon as he heard the ark of God was taken, he fell backward, his neck broken, he died as well. Sadly, the children of Israel took the ark of God into battle. They were using it as some type of charm of some sort, thinking that that was going to give them the victory. They failed to realize it was God. And I believe this was Hophni and Phinehas. So if we look at the passage we read earlier today, earlier on in chapter 4, not the one we just read, but it seems that Hophni and Phinehas endorsed this. You would think they would have prevented it from happening, but they endorsed it from happening. They endorsed this practice. And so this was the sign that was going to be given to Eli. In one day, the scripture says, the man of God told him, in one day thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, shall die, both of them. And I will raise up a faithful priest. So it was implying Hophni, Phinehas, Eli, they were not faithful priests. And I'll rise up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. So doing what is in the heart and mind the Lord. That's what this faithful priest was to do. Now, as believer priests today, if we are a believer, if we've been born again and saved and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, we're not trusting in our works, not trusting in anything else but the redemptive work of Calvary, we are believer priests. We must do what is in the mind and in the heart of God, which is revealed in the Word of God. Understand what God wants to do. We cannot be doing what we want to do. We must be doing what God wants us to do. And the promise here to Eli, well, not to this next generation of priests, this next generation, that he replaced Eli and his sons, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left in thine house, that's the house of Eli, because of the wickedness of Eli and his family, shall come and crouch to him, that is the one that's the faithful high priest, shall come to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread. So they're going to be totally excluded from the office of serving as a priest. Completely excluded from that privilege that they had. And so, when we have in this passage, when we have the man of God, an unnamed servant of the Lord, man of God, coming before Eli and asking him these four questions. The first three were yes, yes, yes. Of all of God's wonderful blessing in your history, in your life. And then when we think of the fourth question, wherefore take ye my sacrifice and of my offering, which I've commanded in my habitation, and honorest thou sons above me, make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Nothing in our lives should be honored, should be given greater honor than God. That should be our top priority, is to honor God. And when we fail to honor God, that fellowship that we can have with God is broken. The fellowship we can have with other believers is broken. And we are starting to slip down the slope of this to destruction. We cannot do it in our own strength. We have to do it in God's strength. Eli was told, and was told that his rebellion, and because of his son's rebellion, judgment was coming. We must listen to the Lord, and we must not kick at his sacrifices. We must not rebel against him. We need to honor him above anything else in our life. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, allow us to not be like Hophni, Phinehas, and Eli. We know you've given to this for an example, and Lord, when we fail, Father, we do ask that thou would allow us to be restored. Allow us not to kick at thy sacrifices. Allow us to honor thee above anything else in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.